This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management.
Now, on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia.
Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor.
If we don't move in our own direction, we're going to become extinct. In fact, in some cases, we're close to being extinct right now.
Presented by the law offices of Pond, Lehigh, Eastern, Giordano. Talk, listen, and speak to the region's most influential leaders. It's Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor.
Philly Labor, as we come to you on a Saturday night here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, along with J-Doc. I'm Joe Krause. On the end of the week here, J-Doc, four major stories affecting workers, and we're going to try and cover the Hahnemann story tonight, but four big stories happening around the Delaware Valley.
Yes, yeah, so no question. This is our women in labor show, but we're going to start off, with one of the major situations going on around the city and around the area, and that's the situation in Hahnemann. But also, the situation with the metal trades at the shipyard is dire. The News Guild situation, and we got a show tomorrow night on that one, a special show, and everything going on at the refinery. So, yeah, no, a lot going on.
Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor, presented by Pond, Lehigh, Stern, and Giordano, powered by Great Adventure, your Union theme park, fueled by Teladoc, and driven by our good friend Jim Stevenson up at Chapman Ford on the Boulevard. As J-Doc mentioned when we first came on the air, we want to get into some detail about what's happening with the closure of Hahnemann Hospital. So to do that, let's bring in Maureen May, who's the president of PASNAP, and get her and welcome her in to Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor. Chris Woods, the executive director of 1199C, he'll join us in just a moment. Maureen, a good Saturday night to you. Thanks for coming on the show.
So yes, we are in a situation here where, of course, was unexpected and sudden. I am a registered nurse in direct care myself. I work at Temple University Hospital and have been in direct care as an RN for 35 years.
Maureen, if you would, tell our listeners who you represent.
So we are PASNAP, the Pennsylvania Association of Staff Nurses and Allied Professionals, and we represent 8,500 nurses and healthcare professionals throughout Pennsylvania.
The story, Maureen, as it's unfolding, is leaving a lot of people confused about what the details are. Can you tell us what you know as of right now?
So some of the details are obviously Joel Friedman, who is the owner of AAHS, American Academic Health Systems, who had purchased Hahnemann and St. Christopher's Hospital and is the owner at this point. The details are that he has made the decision to shut down a hospital, Hahnemann Hospital, and suddenly there were conversations about how can we make the hospital system work better, and to help out, we were in conversations. The state and the mayor's office, we were having conversations, and all of a sudden he decides to shut down the hospital, which, of course, he cannot do. He has to give 90-day notice and also a plan. And this is a problem for, we believe, an underserved population. And for many of our workers, there are close to 3,000 healthcare workers and nurses that will be losing their job. But not only that, the emergency room is a vital function in that area. They serve 40,000 patients per year, and they are a level one trauma. And we, as PASNAP, are hoping that we could have someone come in, the state have somebody come in and manage the operations of the hospital, especially the emergency room. We do not believe that, and we understand that the hospitals will be diverting patients to other emergency rooms, and it's our understanding that that's a public emergency. To have 40,000 patients have to go to other hospitals within the area, and what we know is that the state of Pennsylvania should be appointing a manager to take over the operations of the department and especially the hospital. We understand that the nurses are giving us reports that they are in need of supplies, and they're not only just in the emergency throughout the hospital, and our concern is also the patients. Number one is the patients. And if we have patients that are there for transplantation that are on a list, or they're there for chemotherapy, it's not just the emergency room, it's all the other services that are provided there. How do you all of a sudden shut down a facility and say you need to go somewhere else?
Maureen, did they actually shut it? In other words, did he lock the doors?
No, he didn't do that. He started he made a statement that the hospital is closing. And one of the things that he did do was say that he was going to stop emergency services next week. But you just can't do that. And to start to divert patients to other hospitals immediately, there has to be a plan.
It sounds like he's treating this like a grocery store or something, you know, like it's a, you know, I know what's really crazy about the, you know, what's going on in healthcare these days is you have these for-profit entities that are trying to make profits for their shareholders. You have hedge funds that own them. And by the way, this is a result of it. This is a major issue when somebody comes in like, let's talk about
here's
the trend.
What I don't understand, J-Doc, to your point, but here's what I don't understand. And Maureen, I think you referenced it in your opening statement. How do you, on a dime, how do you all of a sudden, within the last 48 or 72 hours, come to a conclusion and then implement that to the point that the last news report that I saw was that if you're going to the emergency room, you're not going to Hahnemann. Well, you're being turned away. Right as of right now, you're being turned away at Hahnemann if you're going to the emergency room. Is that right, Maureen?
That's what I understand.
That's
and
unbelievable.
Not only that, but there is the Healthcare Facility Act grants the Secretary of Health the authority to appoint a temporary manager to oversee the operations of the hospital, and that's for public safety. And if patients are being turned away, that's a violation, and we need a temporary. The PASNAP is wanting the state to put in a temporary manager to oversee these operations, especially since the nurses are reporting back to us that they're low on supplies.
I don't understand.
I'll tell you why I don't understand it. You saw the mayor yesterday talking about the lack of transparency.
Correct.
So he can't get numbers or financials.
Yeah, but to me, and I don't know whether this is right or not.
Maybe Joel's got a better investment.
if you're mandated by law to have to function or operate in a certain way, and you cross that line and initiate a shutdown, when you're not allowed to do that by law, why isn't the state stepping in like yesterday and preventing that from happening? I don't understand that.
It's my understanding that the Department of Health has some people in there, but what is necessary is that a temporary manager come in and make sure that the operations of that hospital, they are safe. And that's what PASNAP is in conversations with the state about. We are hoping that that'll happen soon. And in the meantime, the nurses and the healthcare workers are obviously working to the best of their ability with the tools and resources that they have.
And this came out of the blue.
Yes, this came out of the blue. We were not expecting this.
Now, the last time we had you on the broadcast, we were talking about and I think you and I talked earlier about safe patient limits, and you know, that's the nurse, you know, how many nurses are on a floor compared to, you know, for how many patients are they treating? And when we were talking about that, and we had just come from a rally, there was a rally a while back. You just had a couple rallies this week, but how did that? And that was with the same organization for Joel Friedman and his you know, the AHS, and it was about Hahnemann and St. Christopher's. Am I correct?
That's correct. The rally that we spoke about the last time I was on happened to be related to safe patient limits. And fortunately, we were able to negotiate that into both Hahnemann and St. Christopher's contract. But unfortunately now, we are going to see ERs that are burdened with the patients, other ERs in the region that are burdened with patients, and what is that safe limit when we are putting stress on the other emergency rooms and hospitals within the area?
Maureen May, the president of PASNAP, joining us here on Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor. Maureen, before we let you go on a Saturday night, speak to the listening audience for just a moment on behalf of all of the nurses there whose lives have all of a sudden been turned upside down. I'm not sure that I can completely understand or realize what they're doing now in terms of being able to understand how to do their job correctly.
Well, nurses are resilient, and we can get the job done. We've been able to improvise, and we work under very emergent conditions all the time. So nurses are doing what they need to do, and fortunately, we do know the Department of Health. There are folks in there helping out there, but what we really, are looking forward to is having somebody come in and manage the operations, because we know Joel Freeman has not done a very good job of that at all. In fact, we believe that he's put this is an emergency, and he has made
he's put profits over patients.
He has, and he's put the safety of patients and also thousands of jobs, which is terrible. Close to 3,000 jobs are going to go away if this persists. And this is an underserved population, and we know that our job is to make sure that we are patient advocates, and it is profits before patients. And we always, that's one of our mottos, profits should never be before patient care.
Maureen May, president of PASNAP, joining us here on Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor. Certainly wish the call was and the conversation, Maureen, was about a different circumstance, but thank you for coming on live with us here on Saturday night. That's Maureen May joining us, J-Doc, on Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor. I want to get to a quick commercial break. When we come back, Chris Woods, Executive Vice President, District 1199C, will join us. He's normally with us in studio. He's not tonight, but he will join by phone in studio tonight. Danielle Newsom, President Philly Clue, also, I'm sure, with an opinion on this, representing healthcare workers in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. So Danielle will begin the conversation with us as well. And then Nicole Fuller is with us, Executive Director of Philip Hosh. Sorry that the studio is not cool tonight for Nicole, but she is joining us as well. We'll get to a commercial break on Talk Radio 1210. WPHD.
Hahnemann University Hospital nurses to keep the hospital from closing. Eyewitness News in Rittenhouse Square, where nurses and others advocated, rallied outside the home of the hospital's owner, Joel Freeman. They want him to come to the table and find a way to save the historic institution. Hahnemann says, quote, continuing unsustainable financial losses make a shutdown unavoidable.
News report from Friday back here on Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor. Special thanks again to Maureen May, president of PASNAP, now joining us on Saturday Night Live, normally in the studio with us, but he's on the phone. Chris Woods, executive vice president of 1199C. Chris, welcome into the program, sir. Wish you were here for the dialogue, but thanks for taking a moment.
Hey, how you guys doing, man? I miss you guys.
I miss you too, buddy. Certainly, tonight was in especially in your industry, it's a very a difficult time. What's your reaction to everything that's going on over at Hahnemann?
Yeah, I mean, it's very unfortunate what's happening over at the hospital right now. I mean, as Maureen mentioned, we got word earlier this week that the hospital intends to have a closure coming late August, early September, but they wanted to start as early as shutting certain departments down as early as Monday. And from there, it started us to, come together in solidarity and work together to make sure that didn't happen. So we're fighting like hell right now to make sure that we keep the hospital open. And we're calling on the state to help us out, which they've been doing. We've had the Department of Health sent a letter to Mr. Freeman to let him know that you cannot close a hospital the way that he intends to. So that was really helpful to kind of block it. And what we need now, as Maureen mentioned, is that we got to get, number one, a temporary manager in place at both Hahnemann and St. Chris. We need an injunction to be filed to stop this closure. And then while that happens, we can have some real players at the table to try and move this transition along, because it's clear that American Academics has their mind made up that they intend to close.
Chris, do you expect or anticipate an injunction to occur or to come as early or as soon as now or Monday?
Yeah, we're hopeful. We're hopeful that as early as Monday, we could get that injunction, and that would be tremendous to our fight and help us carry on the message to our members that it's not over yet, and that we're going to do everything to keep it open and to keep those folks employed. And, you know, we'll just move on. I mean, this group is not from Philadelphia. This group is from California. And if they don't want to be here, that's fine. This hospital has been around for years, and they've only been here a little under four. And in 4 years, they've managed to run this place into the ground. So at this point, my message to American Academics is, you want to go, go. But the hospital has to stay open. They should be coming to the table to do that. And if they're not, then they should get out the way. And they owe that to these employees who have held it together for American Academics these last 4 years.
Chris, have you ever seen anything like this before?
Unfortunately, yes. I mean, I just went through it probably 2 years ago with North Philadelphia Health Systems when they filed for bankruptcy and they shut down a portion of the hospital. And we had 500 members who was displaced at that time. So I've seen it. We prepared for it. I mean, our union personally has been through fights like this over the years. And we've been able to come together and come out on top. And I think us working together with PASNAP, Maureen and her crew has been tremendously helpful. We've been able to share a lot of information. As early as Friday, you know, they had their lawyers, our lawyers, our leadership and their leadership in the same room coming up with a collective game plan on how we're going to fight this thing back. So it's not over. We're not giving up. And, you know, we're going to come out on top.
Chris, what do you know or what have you heard from the city, from Mayor Kenney?
You know, they've been tremendous, too. I mean, Mayor Kenney has convened weekly meetings leading up to this decision. As we knew, there was some talks around it. So Mayor Kenney stepped in and kind of, you know, had all of the players from all of the sides around the table. And, you know, we've been able to convene them. But it started to slow down over the last few weeks. And then we kind of heard the rumblings out there. And then officially this week, the hospital, you know, served us with the WARN notice and let us know that they intend to close.
Chris, the public safety and the situation, like Maureen said, with the emergency room. But let's face it, and I'm talking everybody in the studio, and somebody goes to the emergency room, okay, they're in dire need. They don't just not stop at the emergency room. Often they get admitted. Sometimes they go to the operating room.
Yeah, they're not going there right now.
It's insane. It's insane to think that someone who has been in the hospital industry as long as Joel and American Academics would think that you could just close a hospital just on the whim and on the fly and with no real plan. It's insane, and it puts everybody at risk. The community should be outraged. Our elected officials here in Philly and across the state should be outraged. And I know that the members both of PASNAP and 1199C, we just had a meeting there earlier today with our group, and folks are outraged, and we're not going to take this lightly. And so what I've been saying is that this is Philadelphia. This is our hometown. There's no way we should let this group come in and do this. And like I said, if they want to go, you can go. But the hospital has to remain open. If need be, the state can take it over until we get a player in place and move on and let the workers have a sense of relief. That's what they deserve, and that's what we're fighting for.
And Chris, this is not just a small hospital. This isn't. This is a major trauma center, right? Are we talk. This is. This
yeah,
is.
Yeah, you're talking over 500 beds. You're talking over 2,500 employees. So this is a huge. This is a major player. I mean, when you think of things like some of the events we have coming up in terms of Welcome America will be here next week. You're talking about a hospital who's right there on the cusp of downtown. before you move into North Philadelphia, it's right there. I mean, these are this hospital is located in a key place for the city of Philadelphia. So if you're turning people away, or if you're just shutting down departments out of the blue and just with no real game plan, you leave people in a dangerous situation. And that's the way we should be looking at this, and that's the way we should be pushing back as a collective city, whether you're labor, not labor, whether you're at another hospital or not. That's the way we're taking it, and that's the way we're trying to handle.
Chris Woods, Executive Vice President, District 1199C. Chris, thanks much, man. I know it's a busy weekend for you because of all of this. Keep fighting and get back in the studio soon. Jay Doc's in your chair, and he doesn't know how to work the...
I can't even reach the mic.
He doesn't know how to work the headset, and he doesn't know how to get... So get back soon, will you, sir?
See you, buddy.
No problem. Thank you, guys. I'll be back really soon, and I appreciate you guys for holding it down without me. And I think we thank you for all of your support. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
Good stuff from Chris Woods. Before we go to a commercial break, Danielle Newsom in studio, Nicole Fuller in studio. Danielle, let's start with you. I'll get a soundbite or some thoughts from you, and then I'll jump to Nicole before we go to the break. So we'll do this in the next 2 minutes before we get to a break. You've been listening, Danielle. You've got an opinion from representing health workers. You've got an opinion from the legal side. You have an opinion about Hahnemann. What is it?
Well, on behalf of HPAE President Debbie White, on behalf of the 13,000 members in New Jersey and the health professionals and allied employees, I just want to say that we stand with PASNAP, we stand with 1199C, we stand with the community in this fight to save this hospital. Chris really touched on it. This is a trend, and it's a very unfortunate trend in for-profit hospital. The fact that his union has seen this multiple times before, it should not be a matter of a bottom line. This is life and death. The difference in a few more minutes in an ambulance to get to an emergency room can really have an impact on someone's life. So this is really a sad situation, but they are engaging in a fight, engaging the city, engaging the state to save this hospital. And CLU stands with them, HPAE stands with them, just as I'm sure the rest of the Philly labor movement and the city overall stands with them.
Jay Doc, let me come to you just for a quick thought, and then I want to get Nicole, and then we're going to get into a break. But you heard what Chris said about the injunction. I don't know how realistic it is to expect to get that, but that is what they need to push forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they'll get it. And I also think that, I mean, the city of Philadelphia, the mayor, the state, everybody stands in solidarity with them, but because it's a public safety thing. And it's ironic because tonight was supposed to be the Women in Labor show, but we have the two women with us that are involved in safety and in healthcare. And bringing in Nicole Fuller, who is the executive director of Philiposh. First of all, welcome, Nicole.
Thank you.
And, you know, being somebody who's involved in safety across the board, how does this make you feel?
It's, you know, I have to echo what Danielle also said. You know, we're there to support PASNAP and 1199C. And I have to really point out something Chris mentioned. You know, this is peak summer tourist time. We have a lot of big events getting ready to happen in this city. And for this hospital to be closed, that is definitely a public safety concern because of where it is positioned as it relates to all of the events coming up. You know, you have the 4th of July celebration coming up. You have Made in America coming up, which is all close
distance. On the parkway, right there.
Exactly, right there, right up the block from Hahnemann Hospital. How could they even think about closing this hospital?
Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We'll get to commercial break. We'll continue with our conversation with Danielle and Nicole back in a moment. Back here live on Saturday Night Live here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We're dealing with the crisis in Philadelphia around the closing of Hahnemann Hospital. One programming reminder, J-Doc, tomorrow night, a Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor special Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, a crisis at 8th and Market with the Newspaper Guild. We'll deal with that story tomorrow. Tune in. That is at 6 p.m.
That's another situation where there's profits over our news media. We're talking
and a hedge fund.
And a hedge fund. Right, exactly. Danielle Newsom of Clue and Nicole Fuller of Philiposh. And Danielle, you also represent, and you're representing healthcare workers in Jersey. Nicole, you talk about the public safety. You mentioned that. Tell us about your role in Philiposh in regards to safety and situations like this. This got to cause a public outcry.
Absolutely. As far as Philiposh is concerned, we teach safety. So we would be there for the community. We would be there for 1199C on how to keep the public safe, especially in the big crowds. You have these big events. You got the heat. People don't really understand heat stroke and all the other heat illnesses that can happen in big crowds and in this hot heat. And then you add in the hospital being closed and you have to transport people across the city in this crowded traffic. That's awful. And there you have it. You know, it's an issue on top of another issue.
Danielle, what does it do to a hospital now that, for example, and we were saying during the break, you cannot walk into Hahnemann Hospital's emergency room. Literally almost no time and it not be packed. So now those injury victims, those people who are sick, and the emergencies that are going to come through, they're going to have to go to other areas that may be farther away. A, what does that do to the public safety? And B, how does that stress the other hospitals?
It's definitely going to stress and tax the other hospitals to have to pick up additional patients when Temple's emergency room is already full as well. And also in terms of hospital emergency departments, there are different levels, certain trauma levels. So a level one trauma center is where you send the gunshot victims and other more serious acute patients. And I believe Hahnemann is a level one center.
It is, absolutely.
So to have to divert them to another nearby hospital, not every hospital is equipped to handle that type of patient. So it'll definitely have ripple effects across the city and across the other hospitals.
Can the state get an emergency injunction as early as Monday morning? It's June 29th today. Everybody's checked out for the 4th of July already.
When's Made in America? 4th of July? Or is that,
Made in America has already started. There's activities and events running all week from this weekend all the way through next weekend. So the 4th of July is Thursday. But my point is, Monday, Tuesday, everybody's gone. Wednesday, the 4th. So everybody's checked out. So how likely can they force an injunction immediately on Monday morning?
I believe motions have already been filed that'll have to go before a judge. It's possible to get it in front of a judge on Monday and get something issued. I don't know the exact status of the filings here.
Nicole, I can't even imagine, and J-Doc, I can't even imagine, Nicole, if something drastic doesn't happen for this to temporarily keep this hospital functioning, it's a major crisis.
It is going to be a major crisis because on top of, the trauma center being closed, then you have, as Danielle mentioned, you have gunshot victims going to a hospital where the staff is not equipped skill-wise to deal with these types of things. So there you have another issue. They're just not going to be ready for it. And heaven forbid, if anything larger, anything more of a crisis than a gunshot wound having to go to a different hospital, anything.
Right. I think the closest trauma center to there might be Penn.
Yes.
With your role and your organization, mm-hmm. with the safety standards, what type of training, I know that when you're dealing with you talk about the heat, but when you're talking about outdoor festivals. You talk about, you know, you a lot of times, so you deal heavily with the labor movement. You know, you guys work with OSHA. There's a lot going on here. Mm-hmm, is there any type of situation that, for example, OSHA could jump in and help with the public safety in an emergency fashion? This is totally not normal. Am I correct?
Yes, it is. I'm sure it is. Exactly what that would look like, I'm not sure. That would look like.
I mean, has the city ever? I know Chris.
I don't think we've ever had to do that.
And the thing is, I know Chris has said, unfortunately, that you know he's seen it before. But how often do you see it at a Hahnemann Hospital, at a University of Pennsylvania? I mean, imagine that. Imagine if somebody just shut Penn down.
J-Doc, somebody needs to be working right now. They need to be working.
Somebody's working right now.
I know. I know one side is working. Both sides need to be working like right now. This is a major crisis in front of us.
I mean, I don't think that the guy. And one thing for discussion, didn't this guy see this coming? In other words, why shut it down? Shut the emergency room down? Didn't he see it like 6 months ago? Couldn't he send flares out and say, "Listen, people, I'm going through a lot." There's it doesn't seem like there's a transparent situation, like the mayor said, coming from our friend Joel Friedman here, and I'm being sarcastic when I say the word friend. What do you do in a situation? Has this city, can anybody here ever recall a major hospital in Center City, Philadelphia, ever going through something like this to the point where the public safety is, you know, in jeopardy?
Not since I've been here. I've only been here 12 years, and I don't remember it as bad as that, no.
Nicole Fuller in studio with us. She's the executive director of Philip Hosh. Danielle Newsom, who is the president of Philly Clue. She also represents a healthcare union. Danielle, and I have a feeling you're going to be in the middle of all of this, and you're going to have to either provide a conversation of relief, conversation of support, suggestions on how to remedy situations that are going to come up. What do you say? How do you react from your vantage point?
Well, there's so many issues to deal with. There's the patient safety issues and dealing with those, but also the issues related to these workers. If this hospital does shut down, almost 3,000 employees would be out of a job like that. So in terms of counseling people on what's next and trying to find positions for them, it's a hard transition, especially I'm sure some of these people have put forth decades of their lives to Hahnemann Hospital and have to look for a transition. It's hard, and it's not only the financial standpoint of losing a job, it's the emotional standpoint and losing a sense of community when you've been working with people every day. And hospitals are used to, you know, fluctuations and census, and maybe they have to temporarily close a unit, but to think about closing down a whole hospital is on a whole nother level.
And this is not just a job. You know, I know that, you know, that both of yous are passionate about what yous do. But this is, you know, this is part of who nurses are. This is hospital workers. It's life and death in that situation.
How many people come to the Parkway for 4th of July? Is it a couple of 100,000? It's got to be. It's a million people, right?
I don't know about a million, but it's definitely high.
200,000, 400,000, 500,000, 100,000. Whatever the number is on the Parkway, when they're here, and if Hahnemann is not functioning and not operating, that should be a major, major concern. We'll get to a commercial break here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We'll continue with Danielle and Nicole and a special guest joining us by phone. Back in a moment. Back here live on Saturday Night Live here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We will continue to keep the Delaware Valley updated and do what we can do, J-Doc, on what is a crisis in front of us, this closing of Hahnemann Hospital. Again, special thanks to Maureen May and Chris Woods for joining us. We continue here in the studio.
Yeah, no, and of course I want to thank Danielle Newsom and Nicole Fuller for you know, impacting the conversation in a positive way. And so, because we were going to talk about a number of different issues, but this is an emergency situation. And so a segment we had planned is about a program for women in non-traditional careers, WINC, And our guest on the phone is a very close acquaintance to Nicole Fuller. I want to welcome Lark Jackson to the program. Lark, how are you?
Hello, everyone. I'm so happy to be joining you all. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. It's great to kind of segue into this area. It's a really interesting type situation. Nicole, it's an important one to you.
Yes, it is. About a year ago, before I started with Philiposh, I was working with as a labor liaison, and I kept meeting with organizations that were doing workforce development work specifically targeting women in non-traditional careers like construction, transit, manufacturing, and I was just thinking, why can't we bring all these folks together? And so we can have a conversation at one time. And so with the help of Philadelphia Works, and then we got connected with Lark, who is actually with Chicago Women in Trades, like CWIT, we were able to convene an initial meeting and start doing some work. And then Chicago Women in Trades was able to provide us with a little bit of funding to kind of do some strategic planning and get started with this. We're still a small group now, but we're trying to figure out, you know, some good partners in the city of Philadelphia so we can start making young women, adult women aware that there are jobs out there that are available to them, you know, family-sustaining wage jobs in construction, manufacturing, and transit, you know, that... Why can't we do it?
Yeah, and so women in non-traditional careers, mm-hmm. I'll ask Lark, what define what that means?
What that means to me, and I would say I respectfully think I speak for the stakeholders, is that we want women to know that these career opportunities are for them. We want them to know that there's a long history of women being in these careers, and we want them to really have a seat at the table in shaping what these careers look like in the future. So let me just give you some background as far as Chicago Women in Trades and how we came into this work. So nationally, we have a National Center for Women's Equity in Apprenticeship and Employment. So CWIT has a local arm based in Chicago, but we also do this national work. So for instance, I'm doing work in Philadelphia. I'm also working on a partnership that's based out of Washington, D.C., with the National Guard Youth Foundation. But particularly, we provide technical assistance training on how to increase female participation in the careers that Nicole was just mentioning. Mm-hmm. So whether that's instructing on how to best recruit and retain women in these industries, whether that's us advising folks on how to use inclusive language on their flyers, or their recruitment materials, or whether it's training males in these industries on how to best be an ally to women. We just provide that training so that women can not only enter, right, but they can also stay in these career pathways.
Lark, what's the toughest of the three you referenced? What's the toughest of the three to accomplish?
I think that's a difficult question for me to answer. I don't think we know yet, right? I think every...
No, I don't. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a difficult one.
And everyone has its own issues.
Okay.
Yeah, everyone has its own issues. I think we're just excited for the opportunity that we've been given to have some sphere of influence in all three, really.
Well, let's talk about the types of jobs. You know, you talk about union jobs, getting apprenticeships.
Absolutely. Yes, we have the support of a lot of the building trades here, the insulators. I know the steam fitters, they have their own program that's connecting women and, you know, outreach to women as well, and mm-hmm. laborers as well. So, you know.
Yes.
A lot of times when people think of it, I'm speaking to construction because that's what I did. That's how I paid my way through college. I was a construction worker, heavy highway in the state of Michigan. And so, you know, it's important and I'm passionate about it because I've lived it. So,
these are good paying jobs.
Absolutely. Benefits.
Absolutely.
You have a pension. You can take, you know, a single mom can take care of her family if need be, or, you know, if it's a family of four, you know, it's still a living wage and you don't have to work three or four jobs.
And Lark, this is kind of the direction the show was originally planned in, mm-hmm. but the opportunities, especially for equality with labor unions.
Yes.
Equal pay.
Yes.
That's got to be a big part of, you know, what you're talking about. And also having mm-hmm. women understand that there are opportunities out there.
Absolutely.
And there are role models in them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of times women think of construction. You know, nowadays technology is a beautiful thing. You punch buttons on the machine and it does that heavy lifting for you. Versus, you know, a lot of the young ladies I talk to think, oh, I want to have my nails done, or I don't want to get dirty, or, you know, it's heavy lifted, you know, it's hard work.
But you know what? The people's aptitudes are different across the
Absolutely,
board.
Absolutely, yes.
So, you know, some women and men and young, you know, high school students, mm-hmm. boys, girls, you know, we talk about it. They don't always want to be, you know, colleges may not be for them. Yeah. Their aptitude may be either in the arts or in construction mm-hmm. or an area where they can, you know, work with their hands.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that.
I think the key word for me is exposure. I think you have to be able to see yourself in whatever career pathway that you choose, right? So one of the first things we started really exploring was, like this idea of representation. So Chicago Women in Trades has an image library that we pull from our own resources locally, but also from one of our national partners, OTI, Oregon Trades Women Inc. And so what we found with like meeting with our multi-stakeholder collaboration group was that it's a lot of power in having a young woman, one young woman in a hard hat with pink hair. Right? That's reaching out to a particular demographic that may speak more to a younger woman to say, oh, I can actually take on this role. There's someone who looks like me. And just really changing, just expanding our view of who can be in this industry.
I think that's a very important point about representation. And that's something that CLUE, the Coalition of Labor Union Women, really focuses on is helping women develop their own skills and their own confidence to get out there and represent their unions, run for office in their unions, take on more leadership roles. And one thing I think it's important to remind people of is in these construction trades and in some of these non-traditional careers, the apprenticeship program, you get paid as an apprentice.
Absolutely.
You're learning the ropes yep. while also making money. So for people who think college is an option that they can't afford to go to college, this is a way that they can work and learn valuable skills on the job while being paid.
Lark, I've got about 45 seconds left in the segment before we're up to the top of the hour. I'll give all 45 seconds to you. What message would you like to deliver?
The message that I would like to deliver is that if possible, I can give you my contact information.
Absolutely.
But, women in non-traditional careers in the Philadelphia region is doing exciting work. We have a webpage that is going to be hosted by Philadelphia Works, and it's going to not only allow you to quiz yourself if you're a prospective tradeswoman and try to figure out if these career pathways are for you, but it's going to give you testimonials about women in the trades so you can hear directly from them how much of a positive impact these career pathways have had on their lives and the lives of their families and their communities at large. So I encourage you to join us. We're a multi-stakeholder collaboration. We're not expecting you to come to the table knowing everything. We just want you to have a passion for this work. So we're excited to have you on board, and thank you so much for even having us today. And salute to all women in labor.
All right, good stuff. Lark, quickly, if you can, just do your contact information.
Yes. All right, and my name is Lark Jackson. That's L-A-R-K. And then my email address is just ljackson@cwit2, that's C-W-I-T, the number 2.org. Again, that's ljackson@cwit2.org.
Good stuff.
And then if you email me and you just say wink, capital letter W-I-N-C, and then with your contact information, I will follow up with you and add you to our stakeholder group if you come to our next meeting, which is August 1st.
Good stuff from Lark Jackson. That's going to do it for Saturday Night Live. For Nicole, for Danielle, for J-Doc, I'm Joe Krause. See you next time, everybody.
This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.